Hey, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Welcome to my home for the Fireside Chat, which I have almost every week. It's really bringing you into my life because this is my home. And you can't see this, but the room... Well, can you see on there that it's filled with books? The whole room is surrounded by books. Very few homes now are surrounded by books because people don't read books. If they do, they read them electronically, which I have no problem with at all, or audibly, which I do too. But there was something just so beautiful about entering a home and seeing books. Just something to think about. It's sort of a nice announcement that you take ideas seriously. Anyway, I just thought of that because I a lot of this is just spontaneous thought. So listen, so today, were in case you were in a nuclear sub and just got out, today was the Jim Comey, former director of the FBI, the hearings with the Senate. And I wish one Republican senator had simply taken his time or her time during the hearings and just said, folks, this is a farce. It is really a sad moment in American history that a country is riveted about nothing. 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 It's mind-blowing. I have been saying this for all of my years of broadcasting. There's many aspects of genius on the left. Genius. One is the ability to create hysteria. And in my book, which is about the left, about America, and about Islamism. Islamism, leftism, Americanism, called Still the Best Hope. And I wish you would read it. Not that it'll make me rich, but I wish you would read it because it's important. In it, I document 11 hysterias of the left in just my own lifetime. And since then, there have probably been another 10. And this is hysteria. With all of the newspapers and all of media going through every record possible, looking for any hint of something, with the FBI on top of this, nothing has been found about collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Nothing. And the country is riveted. Every station has the Comey hearings. It's just sad. It's just sad. I did 3 hours on the issue. I had no choice. That's what everybody is thinking about. But I kept saying this on my radio show. And this is what we live through. People get sucked in, and totally understandably, if the media says that, that we're about to have an imminent blizzard, then people put on galoshes. By the way, I did learn about this, and it's one of my essays in my book of essays, Think a Second Time. 44 essays on 44 subjects. And I sound like I'm advertising my books today, but what am I going to do? And if I just mention it, it sounds like I'm advertising it. Anyway, I wrote an essay. I had a life-changing moment about 40, no, not 40, about 30 years ago. I had a lecture to give in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's on the Philly, near the Philly border. And I was in Manhattan the night before. I woke up, and every station, TV and radio in New York City, blizzard conditions, major storm, do not drive unless it is absolutely necessary. So I left for Cherry Hill 7 hours early to drive down the New Jersey Turnpike. Guess what? First thing was, I remember looking out my hotel window and noting there is no snow on the ground. It is snowing, but there is no snow, as we used to say, or as people say in those areas, it's not sticking. And I'm thinking, why is it so dangerous to drive if there's no snow on the ground? But hey, they must know better. So nobody drove. I got to Cherry Hill in record time on a Friday because nobody was on the New Jersey Turnpike. It was great. I got to Cherry Hill so early that I went to a bookstore. For those of you who are quite young, a bookstore is a store that sells physical volumes of literature. And it's not your fault that I'm explaining this. They don't exist now. Anyway, I went to a bookstore. I love bookstores. Oh, I miss them terribly. I went in and I said to the woman, this was life-changing. I said to the woman who runs the bookstore, you know, it's a Friday afternoon. How come there are no customers here? I'm the only customer. And then she said to me, obviously I'll never forget this. She said, I'll tell you why, she said, because people believe the TV and the radio sooner than they believe their own eyes. Changed my life. A woman running a bookstore opened my mind to the power of the media. People saw there was no snow on the ground, but the hyperbole of radio and TV is what convinced them. It's a scary thing, the power of the media. When we say at Prager University, we teach what isn't taught. That's one of our mottos. That's the truth. Because there's one way of teaching, and that's why a lot of people think the way they do in America. So that's why I'm not talking about Comey. A long, right away. This is a joy. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, the only thing it has in common with cigarettes is smoke. None of the carcinogenous stuff. Carcinogenous, is that correct? Yes. Stuff is in here. Because we don't inhale. Cigar smokers don't inhale. The point of a cigar is taste, not nicotine. Just thought you should know that. Don't lump the two together. Cigarettes are dangerous, for the record. This is just yummy. Okay, now, very rarely I have a guest. Let me tell you about this guest. This is 100% true. It sounds a little too good to be true, but it happened. About 6 months ago?
Basically.
About 6 months ago, this is by way of introducing the gentleman to my right, to your left. About 6 months ago, a friend of my stepson brought a German au pair. Well, you came here to be an au pair, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you got the visa to come to America for a year. So he brought over this young German guy, and they were playing some games together, and he brought him over here. We started speaking, and I would say a maximum of 5 minutes into our talking, I said, why don't you come live with us? Is that correct?
Probably 4 minutes, maybe.
Probably 4 minutes, yeah. I always try to understate. Now, that's a big deal to say to somebody, live with us in 4 minutes. But that is how taken I was with this young man from Germany. And it has been an incredible joy in my wife's life, in my life, in the whole family's life. Even the dogs like him. In fact, one of the dogs loves him. I don't want to get into that because none of the dogs love me. They like me. They respect me. They admire me. They read my books, but they don't love me. But one of them loves him. Anyway, his name is Kassian, which is an odd name. Isn't that right? It's an odd name.
Yeah, basically, there's no one named Kassian. So maybe 10 people in Germany.
That is so fitting, right? It's fitting that he has a name that practically no other German has, because he is not like most other Germans. It's not a knock on other Germans. Just the difference is you're conservative.
Correct.
That's why it took 4 minutes, but not just conservative. He's charming and he's fun and he's moodless. One of the great traits that is never mentioned. You know what you should write if any of you were looking to meet somebody? You should write on your whatever account it is, or whatever internet dating service or whatever. Write, I want someone who is moodless. no other trait matters. I'm close. It's not true. There are other traits that matter. I guess you could have a moodless murderer, but I doubt it. I tend to think they get moody. Anyway, he's been a joy in our life, and tragically, this makes me a little sick. He has to leave this weekend. He has to go back to Germany, right? Because your visa, how was your visa? Explain your visa.
I came as a J1 visa.
People don't know what that means. I don't even know.
The J1 is basically like internships and also like programs that you can attend. So I dropped out of my program and I moved in here, and we changed it to a B2 visa, which is a tourist visa. It's only 6 months, so then you have to leave the country. When I changed my visa, they had it would make me to book a flight like in March. So I have a flight now in 2 days, and I have to leave basically because my visa is expiring.
Now here is what is so sickening. America would so benefit from someone like Kassian. Kassian's a medical student, by the way. So whether he continues in medicine or not, he is such an asset to this country. We should pay him to move here. It's the whole immigration system is almost literally upside down. And this is who we want. Anyway, Kassian, you're in medical school.
Basically, yeah. I took a year off.
Took a year off.
I'm still a student in medical school, but I'm not currently like studying.
So in this year, did you forget anything?
I guess.
You did? All right, well, I'll give you a quick test. What is a pancreas?
It's an organ that sits in this area. And because it's like behind the stomach, it's very hard to see if you have cancer. So it's like the cancer that is like the most common form, how you die, because it's just so hard to like to see it.
And I didn't know that. Well, I'm glad I asked. Happy answer too. Okay. So anyway, you're thinking, obviously, you are at a medical school. This is a whole interesting story. You're not in a German medical school. You're at a Polish medical school.
That's correct.
Now, the reason for that is what?
In Germany, you basically need like grades that are perfect, like only A's, A plus as an average. So there's like 10,000 people who want to get in, and I know it's 50,000 people who want to get in, but they take like 10,000 people in. So basically you can wait for 7 years to get in. And I choose another way, just go to Poland, which is possible, and it's easier to get in. But yeah.
Now, of course, for your folks' benefit, his classes are in English and German. They're not in Polish, obviously. So most of the students are from where?
50% are from Germany and 50% are from Norway, because they have a program that gives them like $10,000 a year just to study, but they have to work in Norway afterwards. We don't have a program in Germany like that, so we have to pay it by ourselves.
So 50% Norwegian. So it's also extremely difficult to get into a Norwegian medical school.
The same. Norway just has not a lot of colleges. So it's just like it's cheaper for them to just send like people to Poland than just like to build more colleges. And that's just like a cheaper way like doing that.
Have you learned any Polish?
I had to learn Polish for 2 years, and I'm extremely bad. I probably forgot like everything I knew, but that was not a lot. So,
can you say, for example, "Show me your pancreas"?
No.
Because it's a common thing. How are you? Show me your pancreas. It's a common Polish saying. It's just an odd thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. Now let's get to politics. So you're a conservative, now totally seriously. How many other conservatives your age do you know in Germany?
That's a pretty difficult question. I think some people have like some thoughts that are like more like conservative, but still they wouldn't consider themselves as a conservative. And so basically I would say zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
That's what I was afraid of. See, outside of the United States, leftism is just assumed. It's not even left versus right. It's left versus another left.
Yeah, it's like left, more left, yes. Green left.
Right,
left,
that's
left,
right.
Extreme
that's
left.
Right. There are many parties in Germany. Left, very left, extremely left, and green left. No, that's the truth. That's true for South America, too, by and
large. I mean, Merkel is considered to be like the conservative
I know, which
party.
Is a joke. I know. Here, she's a Democrat. She's 100% in the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
Yes. So here is the thing that I've never quite figured out about you. Why are you different? Did you read books, or is it just something from within?
I think it's a combination. Like, it takes a while to actually become a conservative because it's just, Germany's so left-wing, so it takes a while. But I read books. I try to get, like, to think about, like, stuff. And after a while, it just, like, never made sense, like, what school was teaching you, like, what you heard in the media. So I would just, like, I wouldn't, like, think that's correct. I would just try to, like, read something about it, like, and facts. And I just, like, ended up being a conservative. And I'm pretty, like, sure I'm a conservative. Like, there's no way.
No, you are. You are. And in the healthiest way, too. I mean, it's really thought through. Your parents are Merkel supporters?
They voted for Merkel once, but they are not supporters of Merkel anymore. I think there's...
Because of the refugee issue?
I think that's an issue that changed people's minds.
Tell my viewers what it is, how you feel. How old are you?
I'm 23 years
old. Okay, so you obviously, any change you've seen has to have happened in the last few years.
Yeah, the last 10 years.
So what change have you seen?
I think the immigration policy in Germany is just pretty bad. Like 2015, there were like 1.5 million refugees coming to Germany. I don't know the number. I guess no one knows the number. But I think before that, we just had like a few like immigrants coming. They were integrated in the society and you knew them. But all of a sudden, you had too many. And you have a lot of people who are just bored. They have nothing to do. They just like hang around and you can't go in the cities anymore. Like more and more shops are closing. I don't feel comfortable going into the city. And I think many people are not comfortable anymore.
And you're not a woman.
No, but that's another issue because I'm a guy. I get killed. They get raped.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
In the extreme form, not normally.
No, I understand.
But yeah.
But that's the fear. Are there areas in Germany, like in some other, like Belgium, I believe, has, and Sweden has, and France has, and I know people deny it, but I've read too much that says that this is true. They're called no-go zones.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
If we have it in Germany, it's pretty hard to say. I guess there's some in Berlin. The thing about no-go zones is kind of like the police wouldn't admit it. So you never have like an official no-go zone.
They don't admit it in Sweden. They don't admit it in France. Yep.
Basically, why it happens is, for example, the police tries to arrest someone and they're like in a bad area. And usually like the immigrants in Germany have like big families, like of thousands of people. So like within 5 minutes, they called someone and the police car, like two people, like two police officers. So they just get surrounded by like hundreds of people and they can't do anything. So basically, they wouldn't like try to get in that kind
of
neighborhood.
So let me ask you a question. If first of all, is there a party, even a small party, that is conservative in American terms?
That's pretty hard to say. I would say we have a party that's called AfD that is kind of conservative, but I think there's nothing like that is quite like American style conservative, which is sad.
It's amazing. So if tomorrow, I know this is just a guess, but an educated guess, if tomorrow there were a vote on only one issue, do you think Angela Merkel was right in bringing in 800,000 refugees from Syria?
Probably like, let's say, I think there's some like online polls about it.
Yeah.
You can never trust it because online.
Right, exactly.
But I guess you would get a majority to say no.
You mean a majority like 55%? You mean 45% would say it was a good thing?
I would say like you get a majority that people say it's not a good thing.
I know, but it, but majority could be 52-48, or it could be 90-10.
It's you're saying 51-49.
Yes, that to me is just amazing. It's like Europe is committing suicide.
They do, kind of, yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah, it's just crazy. I feel like people don't think about like the future anymore. It's more like what happens next year, the next 5 years, and that's it. Like,
there's another thing in America that's so different from Europe, and that is it's a much more religious society, America. Did you grow up with any sense of religion or God?
No, absolutely no. Because my parents are just like not into that, like into Christianity. I'm just like officially, I am, but I had no contact at all. Like,
so essentially, it meant nothing.
Yeah, we had like in school we learned a little, but never like in the case of like you have to believe it. More like stories about the Bible, what they meant.
Right.
No.
Did you at any time in your life meet a religious Christian in Germany?
I think definitely no one like who's my age, but I think my aunt is a little like into like that.
No, it's unbelievable. It's like asking, you know, someone, have you met, I can't even think of an analogy, almost like, have you met a Martian? It's almost that odd. It's a tragedy. It truly is a tragedy. So are you happy to go back?
I'm
other than seeing your parents, are you happy to go back?
No, definitely not. No. That's the only thing, like my dogs and my parents.
Right.
Because my parents I can just call every day, which is like possible now, so that helps a lot.
Right.
And I have like a great family here.
You do. We are your family. We love you. I mean, we really do. I'm heartbroken that you're leaving.
I know. I'm too. So what can we do?
Well, we got to get you back. Well, he's been living with us, how long? 6 months?
I met you guys in November, and I moved in December.
And this is June.
June, so basically.
Right.
Right.
By the way, whenever you're watching this, if you're watching this a year from now, it doesn't matter. These ideas are not dated, but we just gave the dates based on that. Cassian, God bless you. You're really special.
Thanks, you too, man.
All right, everybody, I'm going to take some of your questions here. Sylvia asks, Dennis, by the way, hi, Sylvia. I wish I knew Sylvia from where. Can they do that? Can you tell me where you are?
We can ask them to say
where they are, maybe give their age. Okay. You know, what's their favorite cigar? Mm-hmm. And if it's a woman, would she date a guy who smoked cigars?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Sylvia, hi. Dennis, why did your parents name you Dennis? Actually, it is amazing you ask. There is a reason. My parents had one other child before me, a son, my older brother. And they really wanted a daughter. Because they wanted a boy and a girl, obviously. And I came out, and it was... I've jumped one point. And they had a girl's name chosen, Denise. They never even gave thought to what if it's a boy. We're going to have a girl, and her name will be Denise. And sure enough, I came out as a sort of unfortunate quirk of fate. And they said, all right, call him Dennis. And that's it. Okay. Brian asks, Dennis, what does PragerU's goal to change minds, to make a better world, through taking people away from the nonsense and the morally confused world of the universities and giving them a much better value system. And 5 minutes at a time, changing people's minds rationally. About God, about America, about good and evil, about economics, about everything except the natural sciences, because we have no desire to change people's minds about the natural sciences. Physics is physics, and botany is botany. Dana asks, hi, Dana. Dana goes both ways, though. I don't mean this Dana. Dana the name. It could truly, it's 50-50, I think, male, female. So what? Whichever you are.
This one's a woman.
Or, huh?
It's a woman.
It's, how do you know it's a woman?
It shows their photo, their Facebook.
Oh, are you biased towards taking female questions?
Yeah.
I knew it. Dana asks, Dennis, how does PragerU decide who will present the videos? Wow. That's a very good question. I can tell you this. The beauty is, at this time, we truly can get just about anybody. It's a very beautiful position we're in now. Just last, this week, is it this week, right? Yeah, Charles Krauthammer. I mean, that's a coup. You know, the last thing he needs is more exposure. And it's not easy for him, on a physical basis. He's paralyzed, which to his unbelievably great credit, you don't even think about when you're with him. And certainly a lot of people don't even know it who watch him on television. But in any event, we're blessed in that way. And so we feel, who could be an articulate spokesman for a value we would like articulated? Did they write a book on it? Did they give a talk on it that we saw on the internet? Do they teach about it? It could be any number of bases. We have very young people giving it, very old people. It doesn't matter. Who could do a good job on that topic? That's really the way we do it. And we're open to suggestions, by the way. Jonathan asks, hi, Jonathan. Dennis, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the family court system? Don't start me. I'll tell you my thought. Ready? Having gone through it. In America, I can't speak for any other country. In America, the family court system rewards the irresponsible party more than the responsible party. It's not pro-female. It's not pro-male. I think there's a slight pro-female bias. But more than that, it is pro the irresponsible party. In other words, the irresponsible party can use the family court system. It's almost there to be used. It's a problem. I don't know the solution, but that's my thoughts about it. Antonio. Hello, Antonio. Dennis, at what point do you believe it's moral for the government to take a child away from their parents? I think that there has to be a level of abuse that is indisputable. I beyond that, it's hard for me to imagine when. I believe deeply in parental authority. But I'll tell you, we've gone way overboard. You know, what was it? Didn't I report a story that some parents had allowed their six-year-old to take a walk on his own? And family, child protective services showed up?
The
six-year-old is even worse. Yeah. And then Child Protective Services took them away for a while into their protection. I mean, these things are mind-boggling. They're absurd. They're evil. But when there's... See, it's you know what it is? The human being is not moderate by nature. So it's people love all or nothing. And so we have overdone this protection issue. It's like kids. I'll bet most of you who are under 30. I wonder. You guys are under 30. You ever been on a on monkey bars?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
They still have monkey bars?
When we were.
Oh, when you were little. But I don't know if they have them now. Even seesaws are. You know, if one kid falls. By the way, do you know in California, you cannot build a diving board at your swimming pool? I can't. It's astonishing. This protection is just it's this nanny state, and people like it. You know, so somebody got hurt off a diving board. You know, Charles Krauthammer got paralyzed because he dove off a diving board when he was at Harvard Medical School. So, I don't know, did Harvard then ban diving boards? I'm sure Charles would say it's ridiculous if they did. Lauren. Hi, Lauren. Dennis, As personally as you are willing to answer, you've mentioned before that you've been divorced. As it pertains to your thoughts and behavior within marriage, what have you learned and how have you changed since you're divorced? Or since you divorced? Well, I tried to learn as much as possible. It's worthy of a long discussion, and I think I'm going to have that with you one day. I may just talk about divorce. I am very, very, very pro-marriage, as I think most of you know. And by the way, just let me answer one truly, truly foolish way of thinking. When people say, I'm not ready for marriage. I'm not economically ready. That's the biggest usual reason. You get ready when you get married. It's foolish to wait till you're quote-unquote ready. It's like, I'll have children when I'm ready. When are you ready? Nobody's ready to have children. They invade your world, and you should welcome that invasion. But anyway, I am also pro-divorce. And I know this shocks a lot of you who are traditional, as I am very traditional. But I don't believe it's God's will that people live in misery for 50 years. I don't think it's morally right. I don't think it's religiously right. And, you know, people often cite who are religious, and I'm a big Bible believer, a quote from one of the prophets that God hates divorce. If indeed that's what the sentence refers to, it's a very difficult Hebrew sentence. But if that's what it means, but God hates a lot of things. God hates war. But there are moral wars. There are justifiable wars. There's justifiable divorce. And I don't see why somebody who marries someone and then maltreated for decades needs to stay in. It's not fair. It's just not right. People should try to work it out as best as possible, but at a given point, marriage should not be a recipe for misery. Okay. Anyway, oh yes, yeah, so how have I changed and so on? I don't think I've changed much, and I'm tempted to almost have my wife come on and tell you how easy I am to live with. I am, actually. This is who I am, for all intents and purposes. I am easy to live with, and I certainly asked, what did I do to contribute? But the truth is, I didn't contribute a lot for the troubles in my marriage. And I would be, in fact, I wish I had. I wish I could have said, oh man, Dennis, you really screwed up, and so on. But sometimes, not all troubled marriages are 50-50 in their troubles. Sometimes people have their own problems, and those are tragic, and the marriage suffers. Stephen asks, Dennis, what are your thoughts on superheroes? Do you like them? Do you have a favorite? I actually did love Superman. How could I not? Truth, justice, and the American way is what he fought for. I loved that. By the way, not anymore. That motto has died when the left took over Superman comics. So that's died out. Truth, justice, and the American way? Give me a break. They wouldn't use that. And by the way, Superman announced, this is the truth, a few years ago in the comic strip, he announced he's no longer an American citizen. He renounced his American citizenship, and standing in front of the United Nations, he announced, I am now a world citizen. But I love anybody who fights evil. And Batman fought evil, and Superman fought evil, and that's what I love. Let me quote my favorite book, the Bible. Those of you who love God must hate evil. Maybe I should open up one of these fireside chats with the case for hating evil. But that's why I like them. That's what they did. They fought evil. But you don't have that anymore. Final question. Michael asks, Dennis, how did you obtain so much wisdom? Well, it's going to sound very, very unhumble to answer this, but I don't care. I'm not going to falsely say, gee, what a sweet thing to say. I know I have wisdom. But I don't take all the credit for it. I had wisdom at 11. It's like some kids have musical ability at 11. You know, they hear a melody, they can immediately play it on the piano or guitar. I had insights into life at a very early age. And the only thing I ever wanted to do is make them known to a lot more people, to share them with as many people as possible, so that they're less confused about life and about right and wrong and so on. The other answer is I pursued it. You know, not everybody who plays a musical instrument, to use my analogy, not everybody who plays a musical instrument is all that gifted. But you can choose to play a musical instrument and do pretty well. Maybe not as well as the innately gifted. You can choose to be wise if that's what you want. The universities are anti-wisdom. The biggest single thing lacking at a university is wisdom. And the thing that we are most advocative of giving at Prager University is wisdom. You watch the 200 videos that are up now, and you watch them a few times, because there's a lot of info in 5 minutes. You will have a lot of wisdom. It will teach you how to think deeply. That's a big deal. So with that, as always, thanks for watching. I'm Dennis Prager, and hopefully see you next week.